Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for Beginning Another Week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm going to talk this week about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. St. Paul describes the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, that he counts all as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus, who he is, and his glory and majesty. And the New Testament is filled with descriptions of Jesus and his greatness and his glory and his majesty, his beauty. In the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, I think there's almost 30 or 35 different titles of Jesus. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, and all kinds of things, the morning star. And I think it's really crucial for us, for disciples of Jesus, and those who are even maybe listening to the program who aren't disciples of Jesus, and you just stumbled onto it, or you happen to be listening to it, and you're asking questions about him, is to understand that Christianity, from a perspective of a believer, as a Catholic, in the scriptures, Christianity is Christ. Christianity is about a person. The good news that the church, God's people, bring to the rest of the world is the good news about Jesus. The gospel means good news, and it's the good news about, the Father's plan that was fully revealed in Jesus and what Jesus accomplished for us, and how the Father has established his Son at his right hand to be, the Lord of all. And one thing that's, I think, missing in the lives of many people, especially when we're going through difficult times like now, both in the culture, politics, church and the rest, a lot of people are quite discouraged, and many people living in fear, and a fear that grips them. There's a lot of angry people out there, and the Lord wants us to be able to draw strength from the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Christ. The scripture, as St. Jerome, I believe, said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Ignorance of Christ is ignorance of Christianity, and ignorance of Christ leaves us empty. It leaves us in a deficient position to be able to face the challenges that we're facing. There is a superior pleasure of knowing Christ Jesus that Paul put his finger on, and the saints certainly knew the beauty, the majesty, the power, the glory of Jesus. He's the center of it all. What's really the essence of the church's mission is Jesus, is communicating the beauty and the majesty, the saving work, the redemption that Jesus himself accomplished for us. The apostles spoke so beautifully about it. So one of the things I want to do this week is just touch on dimensions of who Jesus is for us to be able to reflect on for the sake of being able to be strengthened by him in this hour, in this challenging time in the church's history. And the special mission of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the grace you've received, everybody who's been baptized into Jesus has received. The first mission of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to the human heart, to reveal the glory and majesty and the lordship of Jesus, so that this is where the grace of faith comes and a capacity to see and to believe. And the Holy Spirit helps us see the glory that's in Jesus. And it helps us affirm, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's manifestly Lord, but he's also not just generically Lord, he's the Lord of my life. And knowing who he is crucial to understanding what that confession means, that Jesus Christ is Lord. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul tells us, I think it's chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about the preaching of the word of God and the responsibility we've been given to carry on the message of Christ. And he said that the message that we bring is veiled to those who are perishing. That is, to those who don't know God, those who reject God, they're blinded, is what he uses, the terminology. And he said, they're blinded so they cannot see. And he says, who does the blinding? Well, the devil, he said, blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see. Well, what is it that they can't see? What he goes on to say is essentially what they can't see is the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. The glory of God on a human face. the glory of God. Now, Scripture describes Jesus as the second Adam. We've talked many times on the program, as it were, in the Spirit, siring a new race of people, people born again, people brought into the new creation that was birthed in Jesus, who passed from death to life and entered into glory. And this is what the devil doesn't want us to see, and it's precisely what the Holy Spirit has come to reveal. Paul tells us in that passage, he said, I preach Jesus Christ as Lord. He said, I don't tamper with the word of God. I don't manipulate it. I don't talk about myself primarily. He said, but when I preach Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus means what? Savior. God is with us. Christ means anointed, the one that's filled with the Holy Spirit, the source of the new creation. And finally, he's Lord. That means all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. So you can't just come to understanding and believing that and confessing that on our own terms, just by natural reason alone. We need the help of God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why the gospel is so unique and why it needs to be preached. And Paul says at another place, St. Paul says that we confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So this confession is extremely important. It's not just a generic statement that has to be memorized, but it's a reality. It's a declaration of a reality that someone has internalized and believed and seen by the grace of God. And he also says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. Of course, anybody who can speak can say those words. But what he's talking about is making that confession in faith and believing it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from the grace of God that gives us faith. And part of that faith is that the ground of it is seeing who Jesus actually is. And then the Spirit cries out in us, not only Abba, Father, which we've talked about many times, but also cries out, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That is the bride of Christ. The people of God are the bride of Christ. And there's a call and a cry in our hearts to come for the return of the Lord. And the recognition there that Jesus is Lord. And he's the beginning of the new creation. He's the one who's going to come to judge the living and the dead. And there's no one like him. And of course, the Lord says and does shocking things. And sometimes there's a picture of Jesus. And I think a particular spiritual battle in our time, friends, that is very real. Pope Benedict XVI had described it like this, to say that there's a constant pressure to empty the figure of Jesus of his significance, you know, to make him a prophet, to make him a great moral teacher, to reduce him to that. I mean, certainly he was a great moral teacher, certainly was a prophet, but he's so much more than that. And there's particular pressure today, in even voices in the church today, to reshape Jesus so that he fits a global narrative that's emerged about where unity and peace and harmony can be found. So the problem with the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus of history is that that Jesus and the Jesus of the proclamation of the church for 2,000 years and the Jesus of the saints that they laid down their lives for, he doesn't fit into the new world order that's emerged. He doesn't fit into the new narrative of what is good and what is evil. What's the meaning of life? And the problem is, for the world, is Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of all of it. And despite the temptation and yielding to the temptation to try to make Jesus fit, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and the Holy Spirit is always fulfilling his mission, he's awakening in the heart. He's strengthening the hearts of believers. He's awakening people today, just like he always has, to the knowledge, the superior pleasure of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord and who he is, his glory and his majesty. One of the reasons people want to shrink Jesus, because as I said, he doesn't fit into the world. I just was thinking today, the gospel reading for today at Mass is said, taken from Luke chapter 17, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause sin will inevitably occur in the world. Sin's going to happen, and the things that cause sin. He said, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on guard. He said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And he goes on to say, forgive him seven times in one day. And if he returns, do it again. And if he says, I'm sorry, be ready to forgive. That's the merciful heart of God. But notice how serious Jesus is about sin. In the book of Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches, which are the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, they reveal these letters a great deal about the person of Jesus. And just one reading kind of reminds me of this gospel reading from today. It's the letter to the church in Thyatira. And Jesus says in this letter, I know your works, your love, your faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So Jesus knows every church, he knows every community, and he knows the good these people have done, and he's affirming them for it. He says, but I have this against you. So what did he say? If someone causes him to sin, then he goes on to say that you need to be ready if a brother sins to rebuke him privately, personally, in a way. So he's writing a personal letter to this church, and he's about to rebuke them. The leaders of it, he said, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols, idolatry, both serious sins. And then this is interesting. This is something you learn about Jesus. Dr. Peter Kreef wrote a book called Jesus Shock, which I've spoken about over the years on this program. And he wrote it because Jesus says things that are very shocking to the system. And it helps us see a dimension of who he is. So he's pointing out that there's a false teacher that's promoting sexual immorality and they're allowing it to take place within the community. And verse 21, he says, I gave her time, that is this prophetess, to repent, but she refuses to repent of her immorality. Here's what Jesus did, because he wanted to reach out to her in mercy and she kept refusing and she kept teaching false teaching because she had a better idea of what was good and what would make people happy. And he said, behold, I will throw her on a sickbed. And those who commit adultery with her, that is believing and promoting immorality, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her doings, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your words deserve. Now, strike your children dead. What he's referring to there is the people, is the adults, the people that are agreeing with her false teaching, promoting her false teaching. They're children of her teaching. She's passing it along. She's leading them into a way of life that's profoundly offensive to God and incredibly destructive to the people who engage in it. So just like in the gospel reading here with Jesus, it sounds like he's being hyperbolic. You know, he said, it's better that you be thrown, you know, a millstone be put around your neck than to cause even one person, to lead one person into sin, because sin is so destructive. This is Jesus. This is the Lord. And notice what he's doing. He's trying to bring a healthy fear of the Lord. He's the one, he says, who searches the mind and heart, and he exposes the falsehood. The love of Jesus is a purifying love, as well as a totally renewing love. It's a love that comes to remove all that hinders love, and it brings God's loving judgments. This is the person of Jesus, and it's so important for us to see every dimension of who he is. And I'm going to take a look at that this week, friends. I hope you can tune in and bring your friends to just have a week of thinking about Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.